O God, the Holy Ghost, do descend upon us as we have prayed. Do grant us your illumination that we may hear and understand your word. Do grant to me as I preach your unction. That your message and your power may be conveyed to the hearts of those who hear. We ask it through our great intercessor, our mediator, our friend, our prophet, our priest, and our king, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are reading this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 15, page 611 in the Pew Bible. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 15, page 611 in the Pew Bible. Let us give heed to God's holy word. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. And thus we end this reading of God's holy word. And today I want to speak to you on the subject of thanksgiving because of grace. Americans are thinking of thanksgiving in this season. And this text of Scripture came to my mind and impressed me as one appropriate for the season. Thanksgiving because of grace. There are other nations that have Thanksgiving holidays. And Thanksgiving is special to us. It is special to us because early on in our history, this day was set aside and it's part of our culture. And as Christians, we have much to be thankful for. In thinking back to how this began, we know that our first president, George Washington, made a proclamation regarding Thanksgiving Day in this nation. And here I have it for you. Whereas, when you hear the word whereas, you know something long follows. Whereas, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas, both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me, quote, to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceable to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. End of quote. Now, therefore, do I recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation. For the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which He has been pleased to confer upon us. And also, that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon all our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among us, among them and us, and generally, to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789, George Washington. And today, I'm speaking to you about thanksgiving, which we owe to our God, Creator, Sustainer, and Savior, from His Word in 2 Corinthians 4:15. While we do not look at the things which are, 15, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. The second letter to the Corinthians was written partly at least to defend Paul's apostleship. And that comes into play in this text. Of course, it was written for several other reasons. And if you think the church of today has problems, study the first and second letter to the Corinthians. And you'll see that sinful men and women have always sinned and always will. Until until we are glorified in heaven. You will not find a perfect church until you are transported to that one in heaven. But here below, we have our problems and difficulties, and can you imagine one of your pastors writing a letter to you and saying something like, "I thank God that I baptized none of you except the Smiths and Jones and Adamses." Can you imagine that? Well, you see how nice we preachers of today are. Well, Paul told it like it was, right? And there were many problems with this church. This church gave him many problems, and he had many reasons to write to them. And one of those was that there were false apostles who had invaded the congregation. He mentions them later, and he says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." That's in chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. Chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. And then, in chapter 12, verse 11, he says, "I've become a fool in boasting. You've compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you. For in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing." 2 Corinthians 12:11. And you know, he goes through this section where he brags about himself. And he says, "I'm sorry, but I have to. Because you are falling for these false apostles and you're in danger of separating yourself from the truth. And I must defend myself because you won't defend me. And I was there, I ministered to you," he says. So in the midst of this, he writes in 2 Corinthians 4:15, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." The apostle brings us to this theme of thanksgiving because of grace. It is because of grace, it is by the grace of God, that anyone is ever saved from his or her sins. It is by the grace of God that anyone ever escapes the fires of hell. When God gives us His grace and brings us to faith in His Son and repentance for our sin, when God does this by His grace, I'm telling you, when He does this, He also gives us thankful hearts. If there is a person claiming to be a Christian who doesn't have a thankful heart, something is wrong somewhere. Because grace makes thankful people. So today we consider this text in verse 15 under these three headings. You can see them on the back page of your bulletin. First of all things are for your sakes. Secondly, God abundantly gives grace to sinners. Thirdly, Christians respond to that grace with thanksgiving. First of all things are for your sakes, verse 15 says. Paul says to the Corinthians, all things are for your sakes. And in saying all things, he's referring to the things he mentioned in verses 8 and 9. "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Always care, and on to verse 10. "Always caring about the body, in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." All of this suffering I do, Paul says, is for your sakes. And here you are doubting me. I'm telling you, Paul says, I'm going through these sufferings and doing these things for your sakes, Corinthians, for you Christians, my brothers and sisters in Christ. All of this labor, all of this suffering, all this persecution, all this accusation, I will gladly endure, he says, for the sake of the elect of God, for the sake of the church of God, I'm undergoing these things, and the other apostles do, and other Christians do, for fellow Christians. Paul was selfless in his service for the Lord. And he points us to the fact that someone else has suffered even more. Someone else has given his very life. Someone else has shed his very blood, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did it for our sakes, for our salvation. So we Christians then ought to live for Christ and for other people, including the lost. Those who are lost in sin and do not have grace and do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. We are taught very clearly in Scripture to love God and our neighbor. That summarizes the commandments God has given us. And Paul demonstrated this in telling us how he lived and how he conducted his ministry. In 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23. Listen to what he says. 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23. For though I am free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. And to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23. The apostle says, I don't put you into a mold. I know that some are Jews and some are Gentiles. Some are with law, some are without law. Some are weak, some are not. In other words, the apostle says, I do all these things for your sakes. I consider who you are. I listen to you individually, and I speak to you according to what I know of you and your uniqueness. God has granted me, he says, the capacity to see the differences, and I know I have to do this to do this ministry for your sake. 1 John 4:20 and 21 tells us, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. 1 John 4:20 and 21. Christ binds us not only to love Him, but to love our fellow human beings, beginning with our fellow Christians. The question is, do you love Christ and your fellow human beings? Do I love Christ and my fellow human beings? And do I practice that love? All things are for your sakes, Paul says. I do these things for your sakes. Christ did what he did for the sake of his people. Secondly, God abundantly gives grace to sinners. Verse 15 says, that grace having spread through many. God abundantly gives His grace to sinners. And what is grace? Grace is favor or kindness shown without regard to the worth or merit of the person who receives it, and in spite of what that same person deserves. Briefly, grace is God's unmerited, undeserved favor. He does good for us and we don't deserve it. I know the whole world outside of the church believes they deserve it. How many times have you heard someone say, I don't deserve this? Can you just imagine a microphone being stuck under the mouth of someone who just won the lottery saying, I don't deserve this? That's not going to happen. Oh no. I don't deserve this. Well, the Word of God tells us what we do deserve, and we don't want to dwell on that this morning, but we want to dwell on grace. Grace is something we don't deserve. And by this grace, Paul continued his ministry. And by God's grace, Paul entered this ministry and stayed in this ministry. And by God's grace, Paul was ministering to these Corinthians. And by God's grace, anyone who is saved is saved. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We have to understand this grace. We're so used to having to pay for everything. When your boss gives you your paycheck, he said, here's your grace for this week. He doesn't say that. He says, here are your wages. Wages are something earned. But grace is divine favor. And grace spreads, verse 15 says. That grace having spread through the many, more and more people respond to the gospel. More and more people receive the grace of God. God adds to His church by grace those who are being saved. God causes His grace to spread throughout the world in His church, in His chosen people. And therefore, we in His church pray with the psalmist in Psalm 67, 1 and 2, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Psalm 67, 1 and 2. Gospel message is a message of grace. The Word of God is called in Scripture the Word of Grace. Listen to Acts 14, 3. Here's what happened in Iconium. Acts 14, 3. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of His grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Acts 14, 3. And then listen to Acts 20, verse 32, where Paul speaks to the elders of the church in Ephesus. Acts 20, verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Acts 20, 32. And God gives us His grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. There's no grace without the Lord Jesus. John 1, 16 says, and of His fullness, of Christ's fullness, we have all received, and grace for grace. As the church spreads the Word of God, grace is spread. And God grants us that privilege of spreading the grace. So better than spreading rumors, right? Spreading grace. Thirdly, Christians respond to grace with thanksgiving. Verse 15 tells us that this grace may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. That this grace may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Now there's your reason for thanksgiving. Oh, what a nice turkey we have. We like turkey, most of us do. Now that I've said that, I'm sure someone will tell me after the service that they don't like it. But anyway, most of us do. And we like to enjoy good food, and that's a good gift from God. And we enjoy being with family and friends on holidays, and that too is a good gift from God. And that's a reason to give thanks, but I tell you, I have something else even better for you to give thanks for, and that's the grace of our God. The good news of our God, that there is salvation in Jesus Christ. If it weren't for this grace, every single human being in the universe would be damned forever and suffer torment in hell without ceasing, without time. If it were not for the grace of God, you and I could not enter heaven. Through God's grace, we Christians have been given the power of the Holy Spirit to repent of our sins, be forgiven, and entrust our lives to Jesus Christ. And He's a much better master than I am, and a much better master than you are. That's grace. On Thanksgiving Day 2011, I made a note, and I must have overlooked it last year because I found it this year. And I don't think it was heard. It was used. But if I used it last year and you remember it, you can let me know later. On Thanksgiving Day 2011, I heard a radio talk show host say, "Let's make up a holiday, have a feast, and celebrate us. We celebrate family and American ideals." I'm willing to celebrate family. I'm thankful for mine, including my Christian family. I'm willing to celebrate American ideals, most of them. I think that's a good thing. But there's more to Thanksgiving than that. Even our first president knew that God, Almighty God, is the one to be thanked. Many people speak of being thankful. You will hear it again this year, as we do every year. Many people are willing to enumerate a few things for which they are thankful. But I seldom hear anymore to whom they are thankful. They are just thankful. Some people thank goodness. Goodness is a virtue that you and I should have, but I don't know whether or not we should be thanking goodness. As a matter of fact, I do know that we should not be thanking goodness. We should be thanking our great God. And there's no doubt about that. He gives us grace. This grace of which Paul speaks causes thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. This grace does not cause thanksgiving to go up into the great up there, into the nothingness or the stratosphere or wherever it's supposed to go, when we don't name the person, the being to whom we are thankful. How can any Christian who has experienced the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ not burst out in thankfulness to Him? We who know the Lord and His grace thank Him by His Spirit. We echo the words of Psalm 100. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Reformer John Calvin commented on this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:15, and he said, "Every blessing that God confers upon us perishes through our carelessness if we are not prompt and active in rendering thanks." That is why you are here. That is why I am here. That is why Westchester OPC is here. To thank God and glorify His name. So thank Him in your prayers. Thank Him in your gracious attitude. Thank Him by obeying Him in the Spirit's power. Thank Him by loving your fellow human beings. Thank Him by being satisfied with what He in His providence has been pleased to grant you. Thank Him. Thank our God with me. Thank Him for His grace. Amen. Let us pray.